Amory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember. Even with a busy speaking and radio schedule, she finds time to devote to her creative love of dance. Don Johnson is an author, speaker, and major motion picture film producer. Both hold master's degrees in theology, and together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timmery.
Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and I suspect many of you, although not everyone, because the numbers are a bit down, but many of you did what Timmery and I did, although not together. We went to see the new Star Wars movie. What'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. Oh. I thought it was a great movie. But you know all what? Right. People bashed on the Star Wars that came out last year as well.
Yeah.
So as I'm thinking about it, these were in the
Are you talking about the, let's see, there's so many Star Wars now, it's hard to keep track. They had the Rogue One.
That was 2016.
Yep. And then before that, there was the Force Awakens. Yeah. So you're saying, which one did we bash on?
Rogue One was really bashed on, and I thought it was awesome and had a lot of, like, great religious inspiration as well. It's been a while, but I'm realizing that was in the pre-trending days. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary of trending.
Yeah, we haven't talked Star Wars. And so as a movie, Rogue One, I bashed on it a little bit. I was there with you.
Man, no,
did not like this one.
I love both of them.
All right, tell me, this one in particular, what's it called again?
Was it Last Hope?
I was so bored.
The Last Jedi. Okay.
Tell me what you liked about The Last Jedi.
I just thought it was a good movie. Overall, it was a good movie. I will say, I don't think this is a plot spoiler per se, but if you want
to
plug
try not to do spoilers, but we should put that out there. If you really don't want to hear anything at all about the movie, you're going to have to maybe watch the movie and then listen to this on podcast. But we're not going to do any major spoilers.
No.
I personally don't think there's much to be spoiled about the movie.
have that low of an opinion
of it?
I just think
it was a typical Avengers-type movie where you have a lot of fights.
Now you're bashing on Avengers?
I absolutely will, because here's the thing. They're okay to watch, but I'm not a guy who likes long extended fight scenes between people I don't really care about for no particular purpose. And that's what I feel like most of the new Marvel movies are. They're like, oh my gosh, that was a 27-minute fight scene between characters that we don't care about. For what purpose? I don't know. That's what I felt like this Star Wars was about. Now, you're also, Timmery, talking to a guy who was 7 when the first Star Wars came out. I'm not like the total nerd. I didn't read all the books. I didn't even have all the toys or none of that. But I am of that prime age where the first trilogy, I do love. And
the first set,
Empire,
the first
set.
One?
Yeah, Empire, fantastic movie. Even Jedi, I think, is underrated. My mom took it. She was talking about this the other day. I think the only time we ever went to the theater together in our whole lives, she took me as a, 13, 14-year-old to Return of the Jedi in the theaters. And, I remember the opening scene. So I'm that guy. I'm the guy who starts from, those originals were great, and you're making money now off of those. That the only reason there's new Star Wars movies even existing is because those were so good. And so I take that into account when I look at these new movies, what are you trying to do to the first ones? So there's sort of two aspects to my approach to Star Wars. One, is it a good movie? This one, listen, I didn't care about any of the characters. I thought the plot was convoluted. You basically have a couple of terrorist organizations that no one else in the galaxy worries about. There's no clear right and wrong. And they blew up. Here's the other thing. So there's that, but then they also essentially tried to blow up the first trilogy. They essentially said all that stuff in the first trilogy, nonsense. And so that was my two main issues. But again, you liked it because you thought it was just a fun movie to watch.
Yeah. I thought it was a good story. I don't always dissect things, thinking about them. I think it's great when people really read into stories and see the philosophical meaning. And there are a lot of stories that really draw that out of me. Last one, Rogue One, I thought there was a lot to it that was awesome. This one, they're fighting for, survival. They're fighting for an oppressed people. They're fighting against a dictatorship. I think that you see those elements that maybe sometimes have become so common in different movies that we don't appreciate it as much.
Which I think even that was undercut by the arms dealer guy who is basically a neutral guy, and he didn't come around. He was supposed to be like a Han Solo guy, but there's this arms dealer character who's just a bad guy who sells arms, and he explicitly sells arms to both sides. that was his whole purpose. And he betrayed one side to the other, but he's like, who cares? You're both essentially equal. You're both just trying to blow each other up. And I found it hard to argue with him, given the movie, what the movie was all about. It was hard to argue with, other than the fact that these people are oppressed in some way. That's why I would cheer for this side. But overarching, there's not much to cause them to cheer for.
You're forgetting, though, that it's a clone army going down and attacking real people. Like, the clone army is taking over. So I think when I hear what you're saying, what I do see is that it wasn't, I think, for the sake of the story.
Is there clones in this one? There's no clones in this one.
The white army people, those are clones.
The stormtroopers. No, not yet. Not yet. See, this is where this, the real nerd, because the main character, the John Boyega, he was a stormtrooper.
Yes.
So they're all people, actually, underneath there.
Are they people right now?
I think so.
I'm so confused now. You're probably talking to some poor Star Wars fans for a second. But here's the deal. What I will say about what you're saying is that the story of good versus evil, while it was there in Star Wars, I think expressing and explaining the good in this specific movie versus evil was not as built up. Here it was more so an ongoing story that if you understood the backdrop, you'd understand the good versus evil.
But
standalone, you can't see the good versus evil
here. Okay, you're exactly right, Timmery. This was one of my biggest peeves with the movie, is just what you said. There actually isn't a good versus evil in this movie.
Unless you understand the backdrop.
But here's the thing. What they did to the old story was they blew up the original good versus evil. What made the original Star Wars, the 1977 Star Wars, good is that it was essentially the classic redemptive salvation story. It was the classic story where you've got an oppressed group of people who are under the thumb of an evil regime who is out for nothing but their harm. And you have one guy from the middle of nowhere called by a force, but really not a force. Really, it was a God character in that story. Because it was the classic story. I mean, Lucas just stole it from every other story. It was the classic story of one guy being called to be the one, the chosen one, who, along with his family, ushers together a small band of ragtag people. But he's the guy. He's the one. And he has to go and train, and he has to learn the old books, and he has to become disciplined, and he has to do all these things to increase in virtue to do it. If you want another example, look at any other good show, but Frodo from Lord of the Rings is that guy. That's that story, right? Even Neo from Matrix.
One called to lay down his life for the others.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and this is where you could say that Luke Skywalker right now has kind of chosen, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Well, no, what they said in this movie was, not only was all of that bunk, they literally burned the books. They literally said that was all nonsense.
Okay.
They blew up the whole Jedi thing. The reason it's the last Jedi is because Jedi doesn't matter. Everybody's a Jedi. That was what this story was all about. It was about blowing up that whole original trilogy. And that, to me, if that's the case, and this was the big error, even in the prequels that Lucas did. The difference between the prequels is not just that they were bad movie making and bad storytelling, but they took God out of it. And whether he wanted to admit it or not, those first three movies were essentially standard, theologically sound, good versus evil, and God directing events, okay? Mm-hmm. God providentially. It's like in Lord of the Rings, the main character in that story is God, even though he's never talked about, even though there is no God,
right.
He's providentially directing events and calling people to do certain things. Same thing with the original Star Wars. Lucas took God out and made it very political in the prequels. In the prequels, it was all about midichlorians and some nonsense about how you've got these things running through your blood. And right, he himself killed the first trilogy with those prequels. Because, I mean, what was the, you know, even Vader in the first trilogy, his whole thing was the religion is valid, right? It was the evil people who were saying, we don't want your ancient texts. We don't want your religion. And Vader says, oh, no, those things are real. And the story proves it out. Like, the Force is real. Now we're gone back to not only now we've got Yoda saying, yeah, it's all nonsense. Yoda himself, sorry for the spoiler on this one, Yoda himself now blows up the books that he took so much pains in the original one to teach Luke, right?
Am I going to get in trouble for this? It's like the Protestant
nonsense.
Reformation of Star Wars.
It absolutely.
I'm ducking.
That's true.
Okay,
that's
it was
true.
The Protestant Reformation of Star Wars. That's what happened.
A great way to
when
put it.
They obliterated the text. What there was symbolism in a sense was, well, I get what it's saying, like your goodness, the power, like the virtue does not come from the text. It comes from God. It's like, yes, but God does work in time and space, and God divinely wrote these books, right? The Bible. And he worked within the system of the church to give even today's Protestants the sacred text, right? Like, that's where you, I think, bring the relevance of this. And that's where I thought it was frustrating when you saw the neutrality of the arms dealer character. And he's like, well, I don't really see anything on either side. It's because we've watered down the faith. We've watered down the good.
Well, we've taken God out of it, and we've taken any sort of authority out of it. The point of this one is that anybody, right, anybody can have the Force. Rey, it turns out, again, spoiler alert, Rey, it turns out, is not part of any family. She's a nobody, right? Same with the little kid at the end who's going to have the Force. If anybody can have it. And if you take away God and the authority structure and the training and the discipline and the increasing in virtue, and it's just a free-for-all, what you get is various independent, arbitrary political factions fighting, and everybody's on their own. Everybody's their own authority. We don't need the text. I think the Reformation, that's a good way of putting it. This was the Protestant Reformation of the Star Wars. I mean, I think it kind of happened before, but man, when he burned those books, I was like, all right, this was a bad movie to start with. That put me over the edge. More on this when we come back.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E and at Don Johnson Media. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timmery, applying timeless principles to today's hottest topics.
For anyone listening, Trending is now always on Facebook Live unless we are pre-recording for something weeks in advance because we're traveling. So you can always interact with us on Facebook Live, sharing your thoughts, your comments, whether it was New Year's resolutions that we worked on last week. Please join us on Facebook Live, and maybe it's a good opportunity to share the show with people who don't listen to podcasts but can flip on Facebook in the background. In the meantime, Jim Burke on Facebook has informed us that Rey, when she left, took the books with her. And so when the tree was like blown up and obliterated, and they had already been reminded that they themselves contained the Force. And I hear what you're saying, and I agree with that, but still the issue is it's kind of making it sound like, well, the sacred text, the Bible, kind of that comparison, that's not relevant.
Yeah, hopefully Jim is right, and that she now goes and studies those books and increases in virtue and training, because that hasn't been the feel so far. She, without any training at all, can best, you know, the Dark Knight or where, you know, like the emo Kylo Ren guy, right? Like, she, without any training at all and without any lineage and all, like, nobody's better than anybody else. Everybody out there it's like the priesthood of all believers. I think that Protestant thing is really a good one.
The Protestant Reformation of Star Wars.
What about this? Here's another question. I think we may find more agreement on this, but maybe not. So I watched it with my son and one of my daughters. Here's the thing that really, and usually I'm not such a big, I'm like, all right, whatever. But this was so over the top. Literally, correct me if I'm wrong, but literally every good character in this movie was a woman. And literally every moronic, stupid character was a man. Am I right or wrong on this?
Yes, I would agree.
I thought it was
because
appalling.
If you think about it, even, and I'm real, again, remember, I'm bad with remembering names here, but the main fighter pilot that kept like jumping the gun and did some great things to save people,
they were all stupid things.
Well, I thought he did some good things.
Well,
a good point. They made a point that like he wasn't listening to everyone, that he didn't trust, you know, the plan that his superiors had, that he was kind of the rogue person.
Yeah, you know what his superiors could have done to solve all that? I mean, the plot holes in this thing, they could have maybe told him
right
the plan.
Right, exactly.
I was so irritated and frustrated with this. And usually I'm like, I let that slide. Okay, we've got this. I get it. We got the strong female characters. Oh, no, literally every single character that is even somewhat appealing. And again, I didn't care about any of the characters, but every single one was a woman, sort of the stone-faced, rational, you know, not letting their emotions get in, like, we've got a plan, we're smart. And every character who's running around wild, doing stupid stuff, not listening to authority, is a guy. And they're none of them are even Luke Skywalker at the end is not redeemed, because you think, well, what's a man supposed to do heroically? Go fight the dragon, risk his own life to protect the village, right? That's what traditionally they have done. Every time a guy even tried to do that in this movie, by the way, he was shown to be stupid. Like, every time a guy tried to take a risk, tried to do something brave, he was shown to be an idiot. Though even at the end, again, spoiler alert, Luke, who does supposedly something heroic at the end, he's actually not being heroic because he's not there. It's a hologram. He's safely back on his island. That part was super frustrating.
And then he enters into Nirvana. disappears into the wind.
I don't need to be there. If we could teleport like that, what's the whole point of anything that's ever happened in the whole rest of the movie?
Okay.
If we could kill things, by the way, if we could kill things by going through them at light speed, why didn't we do that to the original Death Star? Oh, the plot holes in this thing are immense.
Oh, okay, but I did enjoy the movie. That's why, like, I hate it when people start bashing on a movie. It's like, oh my gosh, they're just hating on the movie. Like, I get it. But here's what really drove me crazy was when Finn was like, I'm going to go and take this down. I'm going, and they're like, yeah, he's on a suicide mission, but he's going to save everyone, right? His little girlfriend hits him in the pod, but love will save everything. That was where I'm like, okay, for real?
Seriously.
Right now?
Yeah, we're not. For real? In the past, right. The one person who did get to sacrifice himself for the good of the other was the woman who came out of nowhere to be the second in command or whatever she was. No other, who knows, right? Oh, our one woman is no longer in command. Who do we have? Well, we've got another strong woman. Don't worry about that. She's the one who does the light speed sacrifice herself. Nobody came and bopped her out of the way, right? Oh my goodness. This was not good.
Can I just say I was triggered though as soon as the movie started? You want to know why? I was legitimately triggered. Some of my favorite movies, setting aside morality of it, because I know someone's going to end up sending me a tweet, I can't believe you like those movies. Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12. Great movies.
I enjoyed those, yeah.
I really like those movies.
Except, you know,
they're ruining
celebrating
it.
Thieves. Oh, it's an all-woman. What do you think? Come on.
Ocean's 8? Are you kidding me? I sat down to watch Star Wars The Last Jedi, and I just sat there bitter. Like, why is it that any good franchise of stories that have any sort of man in a somewhat heroic role is having to be remade with women and better?
Ghostbusters?
Exactly. Ghostbusters. Everything's being destroyed
right
now. Oh, no. Even if it's a good movie, at this point, I probably wouldn't see it because I'm just so fed up with us destroying every movie plot, every storyline, because it's only women. Like, talk about lack of equality. If people really wanted to jump on the bandwagon of equality, how about we go talk to Hollywood right now about the lack of equality in terms of male-female characters and respect for men and women?
And it's not, we talked, was it last week, the week before, about the way that men, boys, are failing in school. And I saw my son come out of the theater and my daughter right beside him, and she was very focused on the fact that, well, we got women fighter pilots, we got women this, women that, women that. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, it's great, but I made a point. What did you think, buddy? Even if he can't articulate it, what is a 10-year-old boy to think, and not even just think, actually, what you're doing in a movie is feeling, if every single guy is a moron, and especially when they try to risk and take chances to save other people, they're shown to be a moron. It's basically turning traditional morality. I'm just going to say that's a moral issue. Like, we are, if you're in the virtue making business, which is what God is, and courage is a virtue, one of the higher ones. what you are saying to young boys with this new Star Wars movie is courage is not a virtue, and you just need to sit back and listen to your smarter mother, sister, girlfriend. Am I wrong? I don't see how you don't get that message out of that movie.
Or just goof off, because that's what you're going to do anyway, so it's not going to help anything. So enjoy.
Yeah, go to the casino. What was the casino thing about?
I thought that it was a good movie. I definitely get the messages or the frustration, especially I think the biggest thing is your daughter saying, you know, the only leaders or heroes were the heroines, the women, right? And we only
have
women.
You know, you can get over that stuff. I don't think that what I want to see is characters. I want to see an arc, and I want to see traditional morality. I want to see the right virtues extolled in a movie. And generally that's what happened, right? You start out, you'd start out as a proud character, a cocky character, the Harrison Ford, right? You'd start out not willing to sacrifice yourself like Harrison Ford did and how do you end up? You end up as someone who is willing to sacrifice yourself for the good of another. Harrison Ford comes back in the Millennium Falcon and saves Luke Skywalker. He didn't have to. That was courage in the first meeting. He didn't come back to knock Luke Skywalker out of the way as he's going down the tunnel to destroy the Death Star. He came to defend him. He was doing the right thing. In this movie, not only does the arms dealer not have a change of heart, not come back to help anybody, but the guy who's going down the tunnel, the very same picture of the original Death Star, the guy who's going down the tunnel to drop the torpedoes, sacrifice himself potentially, gets knocked out of the way by his girlfriend.
That was the moment of the movie, too, where you're like, okay, and it wasn't the fact that, oh, he's on the suicide. It's that he's sacrificing to save everyone
here. To save everybody, yes.
And that's what it's so frustrating is in so many stories today, we lack that sense of good versus evil anymore. Anyone who's good, they get their hands dirty in the process of doing something good. It's like, it's not a matter of, oh, they become a better person and they made mistakes. It's that you kind of got to get your hands a little dirty in order to do something right.
By the way, that was one of the premier messages I thought of Rogue One, where rather than, and this was my biggest beef with that movie, it's a well-made movie, okay? It had a better arc, I thought, and I'm actually really looking forward to the Han Solo movie because it's got Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote the original Empire Strikes Back, helped George Lucas early on. He's going to write that one. I'm hoping for better things from that one.
Is it an origin story of Han Solo?
Yes.
Oh, pretty cool.
So hopefully, you know, Mr. Kasdan knows how to make good movies. I suspect that one's going to be better. With Rogue One, what you had at the very beginning of Rogue One was whatever they were called, the little resistance, the rebellion, whatever it was, he just arbitrarily, for no good reason, murders somebody in cold blood. And he's like, well, that's what we do. We get our hands a little bit dirty, right? And it sets the whole tone. It's much more of a war movie than it was in the past. And it sets the whole tone like, really? Are these guys just terrorists and these guys are just terrorists? And I just think that that's the last couple of movies, that's been the message. It's not about one side fighting for righteousness and one side being evil. It's about politically, it's just a power play between two sides who are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And so who should we cheer for?
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E and at Don Johnson Media. This is Trending with Don and Timmery on Relevant Radio. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timmery Millington or to book either of them to speak, visit DonJohnsonMinistries.org or Timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.
Radiant and Valiant are an awesome partner to Trending with Don and Timmery. They help to bring Catholic radio to you, the listener. And I just want to put a plug in here for what Radiant is. Radiant is a Catholic magazine for women, especially young women. Would be great for young teenagers as well. And Valiant is a Catholic magazine for men. These are excellent resources for living a Catholic lifestyle, with talking about things from culture and clothes to religion and science. And I think that it is a wonderful gift for someone. Maybe you've got a birthday or event coming up, or maybe a First Communion or another event coming up throughout the year. This could be something that helps invite people into living their new Catholic faith if they're recently converting too.
Beginning of the year is a great time to get your subscription and one for maybe a late Christmas gift for someone you forgot. Hey, before we get too far away from New Year's, there was an interesting article this last week that I wanted to mention talking about how New Year's Eve is the worst. and Erin Donnelly, writing in The Week, talked about her stories of just having terrible times at New Year. And at first when I saw it, I'm like, finally someone is going to admit that, you know what? Getting all dressed up, going out in the cold, getting drunk with a bunch of people you don't know, and waking up with a headache, perhaps is not all that people make it out to be. What? Really? Could that be true? Is someone going to admit that going out and doing what any sort of objective observer would call stupid stuff isn't actually that fun? I don't know. What was interesting is after she goes through all of that and says, you know what? I'm finally admitting all of those years that I've done it, and it's been years, weren't actually that great. She says, you know what? I'm finally willing to admit that my best New Year's Eve ever was when I was stuck at home babysitting my then 6-year-old nephew so that his parents could have a night out. He threw on his dad's oversized waistcoat. I made mocktails with sparkling apple juice and raspberries. We sipped from champagne flutes and dined on pigs in a blanket. The evening's entertainment included a screening of The Goonies and a dance party in the living room, soundtracked by Alvin and the Chipmunks. And she's like, that was the best ever. And you think, well, come on now. How can this, I don't know, probably younger, you know, maybe middle-aged now woman think that that's possibly the best New Year's? But it's just another one of those things where, you know, the truth sort of seeps in there. Maybe it's because we weren't made to go out and get drunk and objectify ourselves and do all that. Maybe we were actually made for love, and that families actually are enjoyable things, right? And that spending time with kids is actually enjoyable, right? Like all of the things that the culture slams, like, oh, really? You're stuck at home with the kids on New Year's Eve? Yeah, and it was awesome. So, which is what we did, by the way, a little karaoke ourselves.
Did you do karaoke?
Oh, heck yes. Little 80s rock and roll on New Year's Eve. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that the truth, you know, snuck through and that it was nice to see on the pages of The Week.
Well, and we're looking for meaning in the new year, right? And so here's a woman who says, I don't see meaning in everything else. I found meaning in spending quality time with another person, not just drinking and having sex tonight. And I think that this is a theme that we're going to take in. There's meaning here, but there's a lack of meaning. And what we could really say is a crisis of the not so consensual sex lives of most people today.
Yeah. So basically, sex has gotten rid of all the rules, right? There's only one rule now when it comes to sex. You can have sex with whoever, whatever you want anymore, as long, this is the last thing, the last wall remaining, as long as it's consensual. But what has come out more clearly, at least in several articles since the whole Harvey Weinstein thing, what has come out is that actually consent isn't as clear-cut as we would like it to be. And that some of the sort of, I think, sillier rules that you get now on college campuses show sort of the logical fallacies behind some of this. So now if you go like freshman orientation on many college campuses, basically, you know, if you're with someone and you're getting intimate, shall we say, you have to actually continually ask, is this still okay? Is this still okay? Is this still okay? Like every 30 seconds. Yeah, it's because it's
crazy. Talk about
the romance. Because it's funny. It's craziness, right? Is this still, and if you don't get that consent every 30 seconds or a minute, you have to stop, right? That's what it's, but the reason it's come to that is that consent, it's not as clear cut as it makes it out to be. And building off, we actually mentioned this article, I believe it was last week. It was in the New Yorker. It was fiction. It's a story in the New Yorker about the cat lady. I think I may have referenced it as an essay last week. That was my mistake. It's a fiction. It's not real.
It's a short story that ends up being read about this young woman named Margot.
Right. And it's about how she has consensual but not consensual sex with different people, with one guy in particular who she didn't find attractive. And when she got into the situation, she wanted to back out. And
short story.
Yeah.
She's had 7 partners,
right,
has 3 beers. She works in a movie theater. She's 20 years old. And she texts him a couple times. They meet up once. And then the next time, he drives her back after she's drank a couple beers. And here's where we're at.
Yeah, here's where we're at. And she gets into it. He gets undressed. And she's like, oh, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
He doesn't even remember to take his shoes off as he's getting undressed.
So, but she goes ahead with it because she wants to be polite. Now, you might say, well, that's a fiction story. You know, we don't have to take that seriously. Actually, we do need to take it seriously because not only is that based on, I suspect, the author's own experience, but as has been made clear by the viral reaction to that story, there's a lot of women out there who have had almost exactly the same, and they have indeed had a lot of sex, which was consensual but not. Like, I just did it to be polite. What am I going to do? I wasn't sure, so I went through with it.
Well, and this is what's so sad, is that even when she got in the car with them, with him, she felt like she was basically getting in the car with some pedophile-esque type of person. And then, you know, she keeps moving and going into it. And she was appalled when she saw him then. And then she still has sex with him. And she was in agony the entire time, trying not to be, and is now regretting it after. Like, even though this is a story, the viral response has been that there are many women who have lived this, and this is why it's being written and spoken of. There's so many women today who maybe, I think, encourage things to go in a certain direction, but then realize they were just maybe looking for a little bit of intimacy and, yes, might have been a little physically stimulated, but then they want to stop and it's past that point. But then they realize, well, I actually did encourage this. And so then just to be polite, they don't say no.
Yeah. For example, Rebecca Reed writes a good story. And this one is actual factual. This does not seem to be fiction. She writes of her own experience in Metro. .UK, and basically saying just what you did, Timory, that you get into these situations that you agreed to. You put yourself there, and then you realize, oh, if I say no at this point, I don't know if that guy's an axe murderer. I don't know what he's going to do at this point. It's not, and I think this is the key, it's just what you said. It's not that you necessarily want to be polite, although maybe that's part of it. Maybe you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe I want to pursue a relationship later and I don't want him. You don't know that guy. And so if you say no at this point, you don't actually know if he's going to kill you or what he's going to do, if he's going to fly into a range. You don't know if you're safe. I think this is actually getting more to the root of the issue. The deal is you're now naked with a person you don't know. That's the problem, right? This is why we have, one of the reasons, rules about this. This is why Jesus says, you know what? Sex with one person for life, and only when they are established at committing to you and you know that they're going to be the type of person who can father your kids. That's the kind of person you want to get naked with. Anybody else? No.
Right.
Because that will put you in danger. This whole, I mean, the sexual revolution, again, I know we bring it up again and again. By the way, I'm almost finished the movie. It's going to be great.
Yay! I'm so excited.
But it's been a danger to women. That's the thing. Like, women, you have put yourself in terrible, terrible situations by saying that, yes, we should be able to go and have promiscuous sex. No, it's not good for anybody, especially you.
Well, and you put it into context. Here's a girl who doesn't really know this guy. She's scared if maybe she says no, she's in danger. But also look at it from the man's perspective, or both sides. He may or may not be looking at pornography. He's not used to someone necessarily saying no, because most girls don't say no today. And then he's also used to the computer not saying no. He can just keep going with his sexual stimulation as much as he wants, that he's not necessarily going to be aware as she is saying no, because he is in the moment of what is happening. And you look at it from her perspective as well. Although she might be saying, well, yes, no, I'm not sure, she's also being stimulated at the same moment. And so you have this like combat within her where she's struggling, and you see the dichotomy of where they're saying, well, a lot of consensual sex isn't even consensual. And so we've made all of these rules, as you mentioned, on college campuses. But the reality is that the moment we took sex outside of marriage, you took away any element of safety, security, any element of total self-giving, of fruitfulness. You broke away every element of what sex is apart from pleasure.
Another aspect of this that sort of shows how shady, if you will, the consensual aspect is the amount of alcohol that goes into these relationships. They don't happen between two sober people in general. Okay.
That's right.
So can we really be said to have two totally consenting adults if they're both inebriated? And by the way, they both have to be inebriated or they wouldn't be in that situation. You know that on the hook, at least hopefully, you know, that the hookup culture on campus, for example, is absolutely fueled by alcohol. That young women, when they go out, they know they have to have several drinks or they're not going to be able to proceed with the night's activities. They start out by getting buzzed.
Now just add high, too.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. California is the latest. And so if that's the case, are we really, is that really what we want? We want that, well, it's consensual, but you have to be drunk. Well, does that mean, how is that consensual then if we both have to be drunk? It's consensual, but you can't say no once you reach a certain point. Well, how is that consensual? The whole consensual thing is just a house of cards, ultimately.
There's no explained rule to what is consensual anymore. Because if, like on college campuses, you have to keep saying, yes, I approve this, yes, I approve this. Or they're saying now as well that you have to be enthusiastic as well. It's like the whole thing, when we have gotten to the point where we're making confusing rules about sex, it means that it's not being used for its proper purpose.
From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Dawn and Timmery, applying timeless principles to today's hottest topics.
Welcome back to the show. If you are still looking for last-minute gift ideas to that person you forgot, or you just want some good reading material for the new year, let me recommend again two great magazines, Radiant and Valiant. You can find them at radiant.osv.com and valiant.osv.com.
You know, we were talking about consensual sex, Don, and I was thinking about how often we're seeing it is more common than before that women are saying yes to having sex out of being polite or out of fear, whatever the context is. Yet so many people today are willing to say no to food. Like if you're over in, Grant, I have an autoimmune disease, so some people are like, you're one of those people, but I literally can't eat it, even if people don't understand. But I see all the time people who are on diets or for whatever reason, you know, whether they're good or bad, you know, I'm not judging what a reason is, but people often are willing socially now to say, oh no, thank you, that makes my stomach hurt, or no, thank you, you know, I get a headache, or I have an allergic reaction, or it just doesn't sit well with me. Yet we're not willing to say no to sex that can radically change our lives. And I find it so interesting that, again, we're on this organic, non-GMO kick with food, yet when it comes to our own bodies, we still don't have that level of self-respect and self-control.
Yeah, not only a lack of being willing to say, you know, no, but a lack of being self-disciplined enough, maybe, to not put ourselves out there in a way that says to the guy, and again, we're not blaming the victim here. I don't think it's woman blaming to say that if you find yourself, let's say, going out on a college campus to a place where you know there'll be a bunch of promiscuous sex happening, and you go there dressed in a tiny see-through white halter top and basically bathing suits for jean shorts, okay? Or I got
the
on the air.
Butt cheek
shorts. I got on the airplane. This is moving beyond. This is getting weirder and weirder. The clothing, Timmery.
Oh no!
I got on the airplane the other day, and the young lady, I couldn't help. I mean, she was right there, front row. The young lady had the jeans on with the holes. Okay, you know that. Mm-hmm. But
I'm cringing literally right now.
But at first, I thought she was wearing a bathing suit. Because the holes, there was no jean material except for basically where you would be wearing it. And the rest of it, there was a string across her knee and a string across. It was the weirdest pair of jeans I've ever seen.
So in other words, you could totally see her underwear and
her
butt.
Because her jeans, they were cut out to the point where it was, it was the weird. Anyway, okay.
Hold on.
So
that's one of those moments where you're like, I'm looking because I'm just shocked by what I see,
I know,
but like, I should not be looking right now.
I'm trying to turn away. I'm trying, but she probably paid $150 for those things.
Holy jeans.
It was weird. But it took holes to a whole new level. It was like, there's nothing but you're wearing a hole. There's no denim.
There were so many puns in that, those two sentences.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, all I'm saying is, if you find yourself as a young lady going out to a place where you know that promiscuous sex is going to happen and be accepted, and you find yourself getting prepped to go there by putting on the see-through white halter top and the jeans that look like bathing suits, and you also drink three beers on the way or smoke a joint on the way to the place, maybe there is a little bit of self-responsibility that comes later on when you find yourself in a room with a guy and you say, oh, I don't want to be here, right? I mean, you gotta be able to put yourself in situations to some extent where, I'm sorry, but the male, when you're in that situation, you're inebriated, you're wearing next to nothing, you're in a place where it's all happening all around you. I'm sorry, but that there's a certain message you're right. sending at that point. So that's not to blame the woman. It's just to say,
think about the context.
Yeah, think about right. the context and think about whether or not you want to take part in activities that you need to be drunk for. Like, there are certain common sense things here.
Is it really necessary? And, you know, I think we should talk for a second. You know, the last couple weeks, I couldn't understand why out of nowhere I was seeing signs for drive high, get a DUI. I realized because now it is official. You may now smoke marijuana. It is illegal. And I probably shouldn't be making a public service announcement about this. But the reality is that we know to some extent the rules around drunk driving and the impact, but we're not talking yet about the impact of driving having smoked marijuana, although it's something that people have been doing recreationally for a long time.
We actually do know the consequences because it's been happening in Colorado. And
exactly.
The crashes in Colorado
exactly.
have raised, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but driving impaired in Colorado has increased a huge amount. Mm-hmm. And now it's dangerous enough. You and I know this. We're on the freeways a lot, Timory. It's dangerous enough out there. Now we're going to have a bunch of people token up before they go on the freeways.
Well, and here's the thing. With alcohol, we know that with time, the impaired element decreases. Well, with marijuana, it lasts longer in the brain. So the full side effects of the marijuana having been smoked and its impact on the brain isn't just a few hours. It can be days and weeks at a time. And we're still saying, oh, yeah, it's okay. You can still drive. Like, the rules and regulations here are so unclear still.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to me. And I haven't seen the exact mechanics of this. But you're right. The level, when you read your level of pot, if you will, in your blood, it stays the same for a long time. The impairness level is not necessarily the same, which makes enforcement pretty tough. Mm-hmm. Actually, as far as I understand it, it makes enforcement tough. And so hopefully our California Highway Patrol has that under control. I know that they're working on some sort of breathalyzer.
Yes, they are.
Which would be great because
how do you talk to your kids or your kids are going away to school now? I have to say, a lot of people that I knew, a lot of friends, did at some point smoke marijuana. But teenagers have no education on this yet, realistically.
Yeah, well, and that's what we're going to have to work on. I'm hoping that a lot of these things, like alcohol and tobacco or pot smoking, will go the same way as tobacco smoking. Because I think we've actually done a pretty good job of curtailing cigarette smoking by just getting the truth out there. Mm-hmm. Like, this will kill you. You can continue to do it, but it will kill you. And that, I feel, I don't, you know many people that smoke. Maybe that's just my circles. I know a lot. But the tobacco companies have taken a hit because we've done a pretty good job. I mean, my kids would not consider smoking in the same way that they wouldn't consider, you know, drinking a gallon of fat or something, right? Like, that's really bad for you. No, I'm not going to do that. Why would I harm myself?
Right.
Hopefully we can have a similar take on things like
impact of marijuana.
Yeah.
Right.
And frankly, on everything else, you know, this impact of promiscuous sex and all these things. Like,
just maybe.
If we could just get the reality out there. That's one of the concerns I have with some of this stuff, though, Timory, is that we know the consequences of this stuff, but we're not willing to say it. Like, some things you just can't say. You know, the homosexual lifestyle, very clear physical consequences. Mm-hmm. Oh, but we can't talk about those. Mm-hmm. Marijuana smoking, apparently we can't talk about those yet either. Hopefully we will be able to. Divorce, there's very clear consequences, but some things are in that area. Well, we wouldn't let the truth out. Cigarette smoking is one where we have let the truth out. Abortion would be nice, right? Let's get the truth out on that.
That's where we're saying your body and your life matters. And I think not enough people are being taught that from an earlier age. And it's not too late. Even if it's a young woman, you know, or a young man, your life matters. That's a radically life-changing idea.
So, in our last 2 minutes here, Timory, what are you looking forward to in the new year? Anything that you like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Oh, in the new year, I am excited for the different places I will be going this year. You know, God bless the communities that will reach out because they're struggling with a crisis at their parish of teen pregnancies. You know, these are the types of places I am blessed to be able to go and work with these young women and men who are struggling. Or, you know, maybe it's a group of young adults who are struggling with marriage. You know, reach out to Don and I. We're speaking on topics of theology and sexuality every day, and we are more than willing to come into a mission there at your parish.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to timory.com or donjohnsonministries.org, and it's very easy to book us to speak, and we won't even charge you half a million, maybe. I'm also very much looking forward to releasing my new movie. I talked about it. It's probably summer. I mean, we're actually fairly close. We're doing some post-production right now. Close-ish, but release date will be down the road as we...
Humana Vitae still, right?
Yeah. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Around the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae. The movie's called Unprotected. It's the untold story of the sexual revolution. You know, I've been talking about it this last week just with the holidays. You know, people ask, oh, what have you been up to, Don? You know, you get to talk to people who you haven't talked to maybe all year. And I, you know, share with them. And every single person, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, I just started share little tidbits. It really is. I'm finding this really is the untold story of the sexual revolution that people haven't thought about. Where we got some of these ideas or some of the consequences. And so I'm pretty stoked about it, to be honest. I'm excited that it's almost done, and I'm excited to share it with you. So,
and I'm going to put a quick push. We need to see more funding for your program, because the more people that contribute, the more you can market it and spread it to the country.
That's true. We still could use $10,000 to $15,000. So that would be great. All right. We'll see you next time.
From the studios of Relevant Radio, this has been Trending with Don and Timory. Trending. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timory Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timory.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.